Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read one verse. I've used this verse a lot, but I'm using it a little differently than normal. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's have a word of prayer. Again, the message. Heavenly Father, we ask tonight that you give us wisdom how to pray. Touch our hearts and stir us, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit, Father. We see you doing a work, and we want to get on board with your work. Give us wisdom to be a people who pray to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you study this thing of prayer, it gets complicated. God gives us the model prayer, and there's a lot of truths in the model prayer. But you look at the Psalms, and you look at prayers that were put to songs. So one time I tried, I'm glad you guys don't pray with me. I thought I would just sing a prayer song to God, and I figured I'd wing it. And it didn't go so well. Didn't rhyme really good, had no rhythm, had no melody, and had no notes. And other than that, it wasn't too bad. And that made it that made it a country song, Gary. No, I'm kidding. But you sing prayers to God. There are some prayers you repeat to God. You quote scripture to God in prayer. Book of Psalms, you see lots of prayers. Gossip isn't bad as long as you gossip to God. That's okay. God, you know what I heard? God, you know, God, would you take care of this? People say prayer is talking to God. Prayer is asking. Prayer is also listening. And prayer, it's a complicated subject, this thing of prayer. I mentioned this earlier. I had a chance to see Brother Benny Beckham, and I did not know him. If you know him, you've got one up on me. I met him for the first time. He's going to be speaking for us in July. I told Brother Myers, I said, to be honest with you, I've never conducted a week of meetings, they call it. That's what it's called, a week of meetings. You don't call it revival because that happens, hopefully. But churches that call it revival often get in the habit of waiting because this is the time to get right with God. Unless you laugh at them, teenagers, they go, why don't you want to go with camp? Well, I'm not ready to get right with God. Seriously, not everybody, but it's like, you want to go to camp? Oh no, I'm fine. Well, someone paid your way, and your parents said you could go. Oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. They're not ready to get right with God. They know if they go to camp, they're going to end up getting right with God. They don't want to right now, and so people say we're going to have revivals, and that's predicting. All right, Ray Epley is going to get right with God, you know, and it's supposed to just happen. And part of that's training, and I'm telling you a little bit from my pessimistic side so you can understand where I'm coming from. Every group has their training. We have it. Every group has their training. Certain things you respond to, you know. There's certain things that you amen, like our group amens or something like that. There's certain things that we do, and certain things you can always amen at. You know, we're King James only, and boy, those homosexuals destroying the country, and you just hit these, you know, certain buzzwords that our people would respond to. Every group has theirs, and some groups use the term revivals. We have revivals, and you notice the Southern draw because they have revivals and camp meetings. So it's the same thing as a leadership conference in San Diego, except for they have a tent, you know, and a few things like that. So I say that to say when I met Brother Beckham, Brother Benny Beckham, and the Lord opened it up for us to get what's called a week of meetings, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every night. I don't know what to do with that. I hope he tells me. And then I'll be frank with you. If you study revivals, I mean, what God has done historically, and not just a church had revival, historically when revivals hit, I don't know what to do if the church has revival. Call another pastor that knows what to do, you know. And say, oh, how are you on staff? What, to do my job? I don't. I'm a little out of my realm. But I almost did to him something that apparently a lot of people do. He said, all the time, pastor. Now, by the way, you understand, I had 4 hours with him. Is that how many hours I had with him? 4 hours of me talking and him answering. And you know what stopped me? He's a man of prayer. He probably said, Lord, please stop this man. But I took him to used bookstores, and I got to ask him a lot of questions. A very experienced man of God that walks with God. And he said, pastors often come and say, can I pray with you? And he said, yeah, but that's not what you really need. And I thought, well, I'm a see it kind of person. If I see someone pray, I mentioned earlier when I saw Brother Doug Fisher talking, and he even closes his eyes often. You see him preaching? He preaches like this. He'll go, and then the Lord said, I want you to do this, Doug. And I thought, okay, he's slowing down, which is difficult for me. I know that surprises you. He's slowing down, and he's saying, not only will I just do what you want, God, but I'll do only what you want. If you don't tell me to speak, I won't speak. I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to grieve you. And so I'm if I see it, I can go, oh. Even in my mind, I have to learn how to shut up. When I shut my mouth, my mind doesn't stop. Anybody ever seen Over the Hedge? Yeah. What's the name of the squirrel? Jumpy? Is that his name? Jumpy. No. Benny Beckham. That's the name of the squirrel. It's a sign from God. No, I can't. Huh? Hemi. Yeah, Hemi. I should have remembered that. Hemi. Duh. Why didn't you remember Hemi? That's good though. That's close. You got us on the right track. And but I feel like that. You know, when he drank that jolt or coffee, whatever it was, and he's. And I live like that. And I'm on and off. That's it. I go, hey sir, how you doing? She used to get so mad at me. We'd be talking and I'd ask her a question while she's answering. I fell asleep. And then she waked me up. You're so rude. We were talking and you fell asleep. I'm like, no. In prison camp, they wait till you fall asleep and they wake you up. Is it torture? Do they teach them how to? They go through that in training. They teach that in training. That's how they torture you. You're torturing me and you're calling me rude. No, but I'm an on and off person. I'm done. And so when I thought, slow your mind down. Don't fill your mind. Put the phone down. Unless you're going to learn some Bible or you're going to hear some preaching, just settle and listen to God. Talk to God. Someone explained this, and the best explanation I've ever heard, and I studied this a lot because it's a very difficult thing, pray without ceasing. Well, I thought praying was talking. No. You get in a car, and you drive. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Good. Man, mountain looks good today, doesn't it? It's having a conversation. Sometimes you can just be still and quiet. I'm not good at that, but you can do that. And Roman and I do that. We take trips, and we both go off into our own worlds for a while. And then we'll kind of come. We'll both land on planet Earth for a little bit. We'll talk, and then we'll. Sometimes I just listen. Joy. Anybody know Joy White? I learned something as a young girl. I had a trip to make, and it was. And she was a young girl. Yeah. Okay, folks, there's something I've got to tell you. tonight's sermon is what I learned as a young girl. see how Brother Fisher would have said, nope, not going to say that. when she was young. And she likes to tell a lot of details. And I mean she rabbit trails. And you think she's lost it, you know. And my wife's always going, get to the point, right? And I was too. I mean, we always had to get somewhere and we had to, you know, I can't stare at you for 3 hours to hear what it was like to cross the street. You gotta get to the point. And I had a 6 hour trip one way, 6 hours the other way. All day driving, and I was gonna do a little picking up a piece of machinery. 6 hours there. And I mean, it's like the house was blue, and I like blue. What kind of blue? Now, you call it gray, but it's kind of a gray blue, but it really isn't gray because if you look at it, it has a little more a light green tint to it. I mean, just and what blue houses are like and the feeling the blue gives you. And she was just going. And I thought, I'm going to see if I can outdo her. And then what? And then what? And then what? 6 hours later.
And then what? And then what? And then what?
We stop. I buy the machinery. I was going to get put it on the vehicle, get back in. And it was about 10 hours. And at the last hour, she took everything and put it all together. I was like, you didn't rabbit trail. There wasn't one rabbit trail in this whole thing. You just had a map of the United States that you were telling me about, and you were describing all the roads. And she was able to take every road and get it right back to Portland, Oregon. I was like, wow. And then she looked at me and she went, she thought I was the coolest guy in the world. Nobody lets her go for 10 hours. That was like the coolest. And she's like, Dad, you want to go on trips? She goes, yeah, sure, I shall tell you, she likes hunting. The first time I took her hunting, I learned my lesson, okay? We went hunting. I drove out to Eastern Oregon, got out of the car, sat down to call a coyote. It was really windy. They don't come in the wind. It got cold. She was getting cold. I took her back in. We went to Fossil, Oregon, and dug up fossils. John Day beds and looked at saber-toothed tigers and all that kind of stuff. Went at the time you were going to Fossil and preaching, and so we set up a scavenger hunt in the city of Fossil, and we knocked on the doors, all three of them, and asked them if we could put stuff in their yard, and said someone's coming in 3 or 4 days, and left a map for them, did a whole bunch of stuff, and set up a scavenger hunt, and the whole time, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I think this is this, this. And we got back home. She goes, I like hunting. 15 minutes, Gary. 15 minutes. I'm like, I bet you do, you know. And I learned praying without ceasing is just staying here with God. When you're sitting there, say, God, please speak to me in the sermon. God, how do you want this to affect me? God, would you please help so-and-so during this message? We're in the car together. You don't have to talk in the car. But you're there together. And so I asked Brother Beckham, I said, you know, I said, I was going to ask you to pray with you because I needed to see it. And he says, the mistake people make is they think it's a certain thing. It's just when you just get to get alone with God. It's just you spending time with God. It looks different. Brother Fisher at the conference, he got up and he said, God woke me up. I don't know what it means when God wakes you up. God has an assistant that wakes me up. And Roman, are you sleeping? Anyways, he said, God woke me up. And he said, I felt like God wanted me to do something. And so I just listened. I don't quite know what that's like. I've had God give me an impression and teach me to pray for someone or think about someone, get a burden for someone. I understand that. But I don't know what it is to wake up and just listen. I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about the times that I've heard God kind of impress me to do things. And the thing I started asking myself is, am I dull of hearing? Can I hear God? Do I know what he's saying? You ever notice that sometimes you turn the Bible on and you just fall asleep? I watched a documentary on Bill Gates. And didn't fall asleep. Watch the documentary and pat me on the back. Thank you. It's, you know, Bill, let me ask you a question. What do you think about this? Well, when I was younger, and you ever notice that sometimes people try to talk to you spiritually and literally you shut down? You feel like, stab your leg, stay awake, look interested, you know? And I'm like, am I dull of hearing, Lord? Do I hear you? Have I given you liberty? What was the last thing I watched before I went to bed? What did I do today? What was I? Where was I at? And I remember as he talks about this, I thought he said God. He felt like God wanted him to do something. He made notes. It wasn't until the last couple of years I started making notes when I pray. When I stop and I write this, because I always thought you had to be in prayer. You follow what I'm saying? You got in and out of prayer. So I would be praying, and I couldn't stop to make notes, or I would be, you know, you've interrupted the prayer. And I started kind of writing notes, thoughts that God gave me. I didn't want to forget. You ever had that thought like, oh, man, this is a great truth. Man, this is wonderful. This is life-changing. What was that? Oh, man, I remember it was good. Oh, I stop and write it down. I put it in my phone. That's what I do. I write everything on my phone. I write it on my phone, make a little note. I'll scroll through later and go, that was good. Oh, yeah. And I'll make notes about it and save in different ways. But prayer without ceasing is spending time with God. And as a church, God says we're supposed to be a house of prayer. I said this, and Brother Beckham, he said, it's just you needing to come to God. Most of us have to have a tragedy. I was talking to Dan Roach, because I was desperate and didn't have a friend. And so, I said, when God was moving me here to Skyview Baptist Church, for a while, when I first got on staff at Grandview Baptist Church, everything I touched turned to gold. I could just show up and everything went well. And I thought that's how life was going to be. I would walk into the room and everything would go wonderful and everybody would say, wow, you're incredible. I go, yes, yes, elbow, wrist. You know, I kind of thought, this is kind of cool. This is the power of God. And then God was trying to do a change in me. And you'll find when you're on top of the mountain and the wind's blowing, it's hard to hear. Down in the quiet, dark valley, you can hear crackling in the rushes. And so God began to work in my life. I made a mistake, by the way. If you're young and you're married, I'll tell you, here's a mistake you made. Or if you're old and you're married, or if you ever think about getting married. When I was going through the trials, I was trying to protect my wife. So I didn't tell her. I just encouraged myself, and I would just serve God. And I didn't want to drag my wife down. I mean, if I discourage my wife, who's going to encourage me? I mean, that's a biblical principle. But men, ladies can feel it. They know, even if they don't know why they know. And when I told her later on, she said, I thought I was going crazy. And I thought, well, I thought you were too. No, because she was feeling what I was going through. And it came to a point where everything I touched failed. Nobody was happy anymore. People were kind to me, and I said good friends, but it was like just everything seemed to, it's like I got to a place where I didn't want to start doing anything because I didn't want to ruin what was. It's like if I touch these flowers, they'd all go, they die. So if I just didn't touch them. And at that point in my life, I didn't understand that success is what I thought I had to give to God. If I could get success and hand it to God, that's what he really wanted. I thought that's what I have to give to God. And so I was trying to have Christian success. And I didn't even know it. It wasn't an intentional thing. I just thought that's what I had to give to God. And so success was taken from me. And I was going, God, I have nothing to give you. And for most of you, that wouldn't be like the greatest trial you've ever had. But for me, that was devastating. And now the reason I'm telling you this is because I did not go, I would be very surprised for the whole year if I went a whole week without fasting. At least one day a week, fasting and praying, 1 or 2 days a week, sometimes for a longer period of time. I wanted to make sure I was right with God. Read my Bible more than ever. Studied the Word of God. Went soul winning. Went crazy with soul winning. And that's the summer I tell you about where I won 2,500 people to Christ. I prayed with 2,500 people. It wasn't fancy. I'd just go to apartment complexes and gather crowds. And then I'd preach to the crowds and lead them to Christ and run a bus back there whenever I could and bring a bunch of them to church to get baptized. And production-wise, I was doing fine. We had over 1,200 baptisms that year, if I remember right. It might have been the year before, but during that time frame. And it just seemed like, so I said, okay, as far as I know, everything I know, I'm right with God. Then, Lord, you're doing something. Lord, I yield to whatever you're doing. And that's where I began to say, what do you want? I started listening. What do you want, God? What do you want? I began to yield. Well, it became very obvious. There was this church that was having trouble, and the pastor left, and they were down to about 15 people, and they were there. The Grandview helped start the church, and I was always apt to take on a new project. Love taking on new projects. That's kind of my thing. And so I said, well, let me help them. And so I'd come up and preach, and another assistant pastor from another church would preach, and we'd take turn preaching. And a fella got up the first Sunday I was there and did the announcements. It's good we have someone here. Pray that we make it another week. I was like, no. Stop it. Shut up. I'm going to get one of those little hooks and pull them off the stage, you know. Well, pray that we can make it another week. We don't have any money and we're behind on the rent. All right, let's sing to the Lord. Maybe I have enough wisdom to help this place out a little bit, you know. And so I went to the pastor and I said, can I help them? Can I spend a little time helping them? I want to get them to a place where they're not lucky to have a pastor, but a pastor feels lucky to have them. And I can work with them a little bit on that. And long story short, God began to work on my heart and called me a pastor. Clark County Baptist Church. That's what God was doing. He was separating me from Grandview Baptist Church. So why'd you tell the story? Because I became pastor. Now I don't have to pray and fast every week. You see, God got the answer, so I didn't need him so bad anymore. I don't have to kill myself with soul winning. I can just go soul winning on a regular basis, but I don't have to chase everybody around, do everything I possibly can to make sure I'm right with God. I got what I wanted. I didn't need God so bad because he pulled me out of the valley. How would that feel to God? As a church, do we need to pray? Do you need to pray? How low does God have to take you before you cry out to God? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You can take yourself low. Do you know that a lot of that was what fasting is for? Fasting, I used to fast when I really wanted something, and I didn't say it this way, but ultimately it really was this way. I was trying to corner God. I was adding power to my prayers to get God to do what I wanted. And if I got enough voltage, it would make God do it. And so fasting increased the voltage of your prayer. And when you prayed, the electrical volts can go farther and faster, and you've got God cornered. He goes, okay, now you can have your prayer. And I didn't understand what fasting is to weaken you. So it's not all about you. Let me give you a prayer that God promised not to answer. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. If you're saying, I've got to have, fill in the blank, God promised you he's not going to answer that. That's a promise from God. He said, yeah, I wasn't created for you. You were created for me. You with me so far? So fasting is, you'll find in Daniel chapter 9, and I think it's 11, it's 10 or 11, when two times you see Daniel fasting. Once he ate no pleasant food. It means he ate at McDonald's. And the other time you say he fasted. He ate nothing. And both times you'll find he was fasting for understanding to find the will of God. I think it's Daniel chapter 9. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I get him confused. But I think Daniel chapter 9, where he said, I was reading in the book of Jeremiah. He's reading Jeremiah the prophet. Kind of fun to think they're contemporaries. Jeremiah had passed away But Daniel, as a young man, could have met Jeremiah. I don't know if he did, but it'd be like me. I'm reading the book of John R. Rice, you know. I mean, it's the same era. And they were contemporaries. And he said, I was reading the book of Jeremiah, and I saw the 70 weeks were being completed. And he said, I came to God with prayer and fasting. I needed to know what God wanted done. I needed to know what he wanted me to pray for and what he wanted me to do. So he prayed and fasted. And then he was, the Bible says he was given understanding. Fasting was to mold me, to break me, to weaken me to where God could speak to me. Because when I'm in a hurry and I've got to have stuff done, and we, what are you doing? Doing this? Where are we going? How are you doing this? What? That's, by the way, that's when I'm the rudest too. When I don't have time for you and you need time. And you're like, I just need to talk to you. What do you need? Well, first I was born. We're done. You know, I'm like, you don't understand. You know, summarize. Okay. First I was born. Oh, in a hurry because I'm important. Do you get that? If I'm not there, the world will stop. You all would disappear. If Pastor White died. What's it? Thanos. I know what you're thinking. There he is. He took the glove. Boom. Thanos. Yes. Pastor Thanos. And so so fasting was made to weaken you so you could line up with what God wants. See, prayer isn't getting what you want. Prayer is asking for God to do what he wants. And God actually gives you rewards. When, especially Roman, I'll use you on this one. When Roman was a little guy, go ahead and stand up. I'd be carrying a box like this. He'd say, let me help you, Dad. I'd say, okay. Do you remember how you used to help me? Stand right here. You're going to face this way. Face me. Reach out. Help me like you used to help me. That's not how you used to help me. He used to go like, yeah. He used to go like this. He'd hang on the box. And I'd be like, keep walking. He's like, oh, Dad, this is so hard. Yeah, it is, isn't it? And we'd stop. I'd be like, thank you so much for your help, son. Thank you so much. No, I'm good. I don't need any more help. No, I'm good. So what? He was helping his dad. And by the way, I rewarded him. Okay? God wants your help. He says, pray. You'll find in the Bible, he told prophets, I'm going to do this. Now pray that it happens. The word of God just said it's going to happen. Why am I supposed to pray for it to happen? And so come, Lord Jesus, pray for the second coming of Christ. I think he's coming if I pray or not. That's my personal opinion. I don't think he's like, come on, woman. Come on, man. Come on, pray. Come on, I want to, let me in, coach. You know, I don't think he's up there waiting for it. But God says, if you'll pray, you'll get part of the reward. We're co-laborers. We'll work together. Okay, here's what I'm going to pray for a new car. No. By the way, you're lucky because the Holy Spirit interprets your prayers. Paul the Apostle, Lord, take this thorn from me. Lord, yeah, give that to him. He needs it. Lord, take this thorn in my flesh from me. Yeah, Lord, yeah, give that to him. He needs it. Oh, God, please, take this thorn in the flesh from me. Lord, give that to him because he needs it, but let's let him know why. But Paul, what? Lest you be exalted above measure for the abundance of revelation, I gave this to you. So it'll keep you weak. So you're aware of your need for me. Oh, what did God give him? Understanding. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Understanding. What's God doing? God, please take this trial from me. No. Sometimes God says, okay, yeah, I'm taking it from you. Now you know I answer prayer. That's a good thing. But sometimes God says, no, I gave this to you. Look what Satan's doing in my... That's what the Bible says, Paul. A messenger from Satan to buffet Paul. But God gave it to him. He said, this will keep you weak enough to recognize your need for me. So when we see this, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You see, when it comes to prayer, it's not so important. Faith isn't believing God will answer your prayer. Faith is believing God can answer your prayer and being okay with that. You see, what do you mean? Did Paul not have faith? Oh, just a quick question for you. Did Jesus Christ not have faith when he said, Lord, if it be thy will, take this cup from me? Was it a lack of faith that made Jesus not get his prayer answered? No. When people tell you that, they don't understand it. Faith isn't getting something from God or telling God what to do. Faith is believing what God's doing, getting on board with God. So when you get on board with God, and then you're exercising faith. So he said this: you must believe that he is. And you see in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew God could deliver them, but they did not know that God would deliver them. They were willing to trust God with the outcome, even if it meant they could die. That God can deliver me was enough. God can deliver me was enough. Folks, we've talked about the other things. Tonight, let me ask you this. Do you believe God can answer your prayers? Do you believe if you were to come to God in prayer, the Holy Spirit would interpret that, like he said, Romans chapter 8? Stay with me, and then we're going to end this thing. So God can. The Holy Spirit will interpret it. Do you believe God could give you understanding about what's happening? So you could pray. One of the signs that our church isn't a praying church is gossip. When you reported it to the proper authorities, you really don't need to tell anybody else. And God's the proper authority. Oh, do you know what Ray did? Oh, I'll tell you what. You and I, us against Ray. Deal? Me and you against Ray. You know what Ray did? That's a lack of prayer. I say, oh God, do you know what Ray did? He said, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and God, you're the one who actually fixes these things. And God, there's nothing I can do. The best I could ever offer was peer pressure to get him to fake it because he fears people over man. And that would be a mistake in and of itself. And God, I'm asking you today, would you change Ray's heart? And God, I trust your timing, but I'm going to bring it before you because you say we have not because we ask not. And God, I'm asking you to change his heart. I'm asking you to give him strength to trust you. And I'm asking you to do a work in his life that only you can do. And I trust you with that, God. And I'm going to be careful for nothing. Because you said in all things with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I ask your peace to take over because I trust you with this. You have Ray now, God. He's yours. God, please help Ray. You see how that works? It's okay to gossip as long as it's to God. I'm done. Let me ask you this. Do you pray? Now, do you have to pray or should you pray? Do you pray? Do you spend time with God? Do you know what it means to wake up and look up and say, God, I love you. God, help me today. Do you know what it is? Sometimes when you go to bed and God wakes you up. We talked about that, Gary. Remember that? It ruined your life. It ruined my life, too, so I just like to share the joy. As the sermon, follow the cloud, where all you had to do is wait. When the cloud moved, you just followed it. In the Old Testament, that was how you knew what God wanted. And if God wakes you up, pray. Well, man, I said that. And a couple of people, you were one of them, Mark, Eric, some other people, they said, so I woke up, and I thought, I'm going to go back to sleep. Oh, it's almost like, curse that preacher. You know? All right, Lord, you want me to pray? God, would you please do this? And God, would you please do that? Some of the sweetest times I have with God is when he wakes me up. He said, well, preacher, can you call me and I come over and pray with you? No. Because it isn't how I pray. Part of that's personality. Do you know what I do when I'm totally alone and nobody's around? I preach to God. I mean, in ghetto preaching. I praise God and I stomp my feet and I tell him how wonderful he is and I yell out to him, he's a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and he's coming back and every knee will bow and every tongue confess, and I get hyped up. You don't. That's weird. That's not you. I'm trying to imagine, I'm looking at different personalities. I'm trying to imagine some of you doing that, you know. It's not your personality. But then some of you, Harold. Sarah, you remember Harold? Harold would say, I'd appear. He was close to 90. He'd just go, God, oh, I love you. God, you're so good. God, I know you heard these requests, but we want to say them to you, God. And he'd start crying. I thought, oh. He's there. He's right with God. I just wanted to sit by him while he did it. And everyone's different. So I'm not trying to teach you a lesson how to pray. I'm just going to say this. Do you pray? Do you need to slow it up a little? If you want to compare hyperactivity, I'll compare hyperactivity with you. All right? If you want to compare having your self-worth built on doing more than anybody else, I'll compare. But maybe if that's you, you need to slow down and say, God, turn the radio off in the car on the way to work, and I'm going to tell you thank you for the traffic jams. Because I get a chance just to tell you I love you. God, I'm not going to pull up my phone when there's nobody around. I have that habit. I found myself doing it. I'll be sitting at Sherry's waiting on someone. But I checked all my emails. Somebody's got to email me. I just learned this. I learned how to scroll on Facebook. Because someone was preaching against another. Oh. Ooh. Wow. I can't read that because I got people from India who friended me, you know. Whatever. You know. And a busy time. Put your phone back in the pocket and just say, do you want me to do something, Lord? Do you want me to talk to somebody? I don't know what you want, Lord, but I love you. Lord, if you want me to do something, I'll do it. I'm okay with just being alone with God. How about let's say we're going to be a people of prayer. Let's spend some time with God. And let's get our hearts warmed up to the place where God says, your ears are not dull of hearing. You can hear me now. Here's what I want you to do.